Hello and welcome to a special episode of SG Voice Out Loud. I am your host, Giulia Bottaro, and I'm here with my colleagues Heather Dinwoody and Felicia Jackson. So today we are going to do a quiz because it's Christmas and we are feeling like celebrating some of the positive developments that we saw in the past year. So we will go around and each of us will ask a question and the other ones will have to respond. And the winner will win nothing. Merry Christmas.
We were discussing getting signed posters of the SDGs by Antonio Guterres, but we basically laughed Julia out on that one.
Yeah, but if you're listening to us, Antonio, or Mr. Guterres, sorry, please do sign something for us and send it to our office in Fleet Street, London. Thank you.
Just call him Tony, Julia. Why not?
You're right. We're on a first name basis now, so might as well. Right. Should I start with my first question then?
I think you should.
Okay. So this one is, what Scottish industry is using excess heat to power their operations?
Heather.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Can I just caveat before you respond? It's not the whole industry. It's some companies within this industry. But yes, Heather.
I kind of said my name before I actually had an answer prepared.
Jumping the gun.
That's going to be a key trend here. I'm going to say like breweries.
And it's wrong.
Specifically whiskey is what I was thinking.
Yes. But. Sorry. I thought they were called distilleries, not breweries.
They are called distilleries, so I'm going to go,
that's
Felicia,
the word.
It's distilleries.
Yeah, but she said whiskey first, so that was the industry. Well done. One example that we have on...
Do we both get a point for that?
What, are you copying my answer? I don't think
you
so.
You said breweries.
Heather literally, yeah, okay. But she said whiskey.
And then I said whiskey. I forgot the word distilleries, I'll be honest.
As a Scottish person, you should look at your priorities.
You're not wrong.
On our site, we have a splendid example from Chivas Brothers, who managed to halve their energy usage and emissions by recovering their waste heat and using it to power their operations.
Excellent.
Well, that's lovely. I like that we get a nice, cheerful story out of Julia's
questions. Yes, you will.
Mine may not offer so much, but, you know, we'll see how we go.
Heather gets the point. Well done, Heather. I believe Felicia is keeping count. Is that correct?
I'm trying.
Do we trust that? Do we not have an independent mediator?
Oh, Caroline, our producer, is holding up a piece of paper to prove that they're going to hold me to account.
Thank you very much.
I've played too many games of Monopoly, I'm afraid.
I've got three sisters and do the same. Right, whose question is it next?
Okay, so next question, Heather, since you got the point.
Okay, so I've gone multiple choice, which I hope will help with the answering, I suppose. So my first question is, which of these events was not interrupted by Just Stop Oil protesters? So we've got A, the England versus Scotland Six Nations rugby match, B, the UCI Cycling World Championships, or C, the Ashes cricket test match between England and
Julia.
Australia.
I'm going to say cycling.
No!
Julia was first. Julia, what's your answer?
I was going to say cycling as well.
Oh, in that case, I'm going to change mine to the Six Nations.
Correct.
Yes.
So I'm going to give that one to Fee. I chose cycling deliberately because I was like, everyone, you know, cycling is relatively
Well, it's relatively green, so we thought they might not have interrupted that one. But it's about sending a message.
Absolutely.
Exactly. But the Six Nations is just so fun. I mean, personally, rugby is the only sport I actually watch.
I'm actually shocked by this statement.
What, that I watch rugby?
Yes.
Are you saying I don't look like a rugby player?
Not like a rugby player.
I mean, I'm not a rugby player.
You just never mentioned it and I didn't think it was a thing. But you know what?
Yeah, probably rugby doesn't come up that much when we're discussing sustainability crises.
Never come up in...
I will be honest, the last rugby match I went to, I was sat beside my mum and we had great hilarity asking each other questions because it turns out neither of us really know the rules. We just have fun going. But there was a man sat in front of us with his child who must have been about 3 or 4. So the man was explaining to his child all the rules and me and my mum were sat there going, oh, this is very helpful, very informative. Yes, thank you. So when I say I'm a rugby fan, I would put that in air quotes.
So you like to go to rugby matches with your mum?
Oh, it's great fun, yeah. The rest of the family was there too.
You don't need to understand it to enjoy it, you
Definitely.
Know?
It's the atmosphere.
There we go. Right, so it's time for my first question. So we've got an election coming up in the UK next year and one in the US, which is a bit of a concern when it comes to climate action. But the states have always done really interesting things. So even in a Trumpian government, states actually still take action. So which US state was the first to find in favour of the fact that children have a constitutional right to a healthy environment?
Heather.
Okay, Heather. Which state was it?
Montana.
And you are correct.
I knew it as well.
Unfortunately, the reason I know that is because that same case plays into my next question.
Oh, there is some overlap there.
It's a different question. It's a different question. But I do remember writing about that and I found it a very heartwarming story, I will say.
But I was also going to say it's well worth paying attention to what is happening at a legal level, just in terms of expectations about what rights individuals have and the way the legislative framework is changing, and companies need to stay abreast of that. So keep up to date with what we're doing on SG Voice.
Absolutely.
And just last week, I was covering a similar case that's been launched in California. And then I read this morning that a court in Canada, I know that's not in the States, I am aware of
this
that.
This is North America, though. It's close.
A court in Canada has allowed, again, a similar case. You know, it's just got as far as they've said, yes, this is a reasonable case, it will be heard.
Exciting so stuff.
Moving
children
forward.
Children robbed of their future, exactly. Taking governments to court.
So back to Julia, and at the end of round one, Heather has 2 points.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so my second question is a multiple choice as well. So HydroCow, a project that received 5.5 million euros from the EU earlier this year, makes... A. Sustainable washing liquid for leather products. B. Animal-free milk from CO2 and electricity. C. Hydrogen reactors to power farms.
Heather.
Felicia.
Heather.
B.
Yes.
Yes.
That's so obviously B. I'm just too slow.
I don't think you guys have ever seen my competitive side, but it's how it feels forced.
You're in line to get the autograph from Tony. So HydroCow is a project by Solar Foods and Academia, creating milk protein from CO2 and electricity, so no actual cows involved.
Those were good options though, Julia.
They were all sort of believable.
That...
I liked it.
Sorry, the sustainable washing liquid for leather.
Well, all sorts of things are coming out these days.
Maybe not that one, but thank you for that. Thank you. Okay, then Heather, once again.
Okay, so... As mentioned, this does tie in to Felicia's last question. So I've got, in August, a group of children won their lawsuit against the Montana state government for violating their rights by promoting the continued consumption of fossil fuels. But how many children were involved in the case? Was it A, 12, B, 14, or C, 16?
Julia.
Oh.
C.
Correct.
See, I know the answers. I just can't say my name quickly enough.
I'm so glad that, but I got 1 point. You know, at least I can go home and say I got 1 point. That's all. That's all I wanted.
Oh, fair enough. All right. So my question now, my second question is about agriculture and the food system. And as everybody knows, COP28 was the first time that agriculture and the food system has actually been included in the text. So there's going to be loads and loads of pressure on regulation around reporting on impact on the environment. So how many countries signed up to the Emirates Declaration on Sustainable Agriculture, Resilient Food Systems and Climate Action?
Heather, I think you're going to have to give this to whoever's closest. Just putting that out there.
That's a good choice.
I'm going to let an answer be closest in number or percentage of land covered.
Okay, I'm going to say 124 because I'm not good at percentages.
Okay, Julia?
I'm going to say 46 countries.
Well, Heather wins because the number of countries, so this is countries that have actually committed to integrating the food system into their climate plans by 2025, so that's within the next 2 years, 174 countries covering 70% of the world's land mass.
Wonderful.
Not bad. And I do like that you brought us back to the actual story, because I'll admit my mind is completely on a one track towards winning here. That's all
it's
I've
like,
got.
I don't care about nature commitments. It's all about the points. Well, you know what? Well done, Heather, and well done to those countries.
Very nice.
Yes, I mean, you know, well done to those countries, but also I was closest. I mean, to be fair, I was still 50 countries off, but you know.
Yes, you're moving in the right direction. Okay, back to Julia.
So my last question is the only topic I'm obsessed with that I haven't mentioned yet, so you can imagine it. And there is a point, an option for a bonus point.
Ooh.
In which countries has a cultivated meat company applied for approval in Europe, the continent?
Ooh.
Heather?
Okay, yes.
You specified the continent, so I'm assuming you're counting the UK in that.
The UK is not part of the continent. It's a separate island.
Yeah, but it's in the geographical continent.
Ah, okay. I thought, like, well, okay.
I didn't mean the continent. I mean, sorry, because Europe could be European Union.
Because I thought it was the UK, but because you said continent.
Well, it's two countries anyway, and then there is opportunity for a bonus point after this.
Guys, can you imagine what our news meetings are like?
Okay, so I'm saying the UK and then...
Can I say that these two countries are 1 point, though? They're not two separate points.
Okay.
So you need to get them both right.
I need to get both.
Point.
Okay. I'm thinking one of the Scandinavian countries.
Care to mention one?
Most progressive. I'm now just completely confused.
Are you Googling, Felicia?
I haven't yet, but I was thinking about it. I've stopped.
I'm going to... I want to say Finland.
But that's because they always do cool stuff.
Is that your final answer?
No, it's not.
Don't worry, we have all day.
Sweden! And we'll split the point.
Okay, that's wrong, Felicia.
Hungary!
No, you've given your answer now.
France!
Not neither of you.
Switzerland?
Well, it's too late now.
Spain!
It's UK and Switzerland. Fine, you got this wrong, both.
Can I get half a point because I got one?
No, but there is opportunity
right, on my
for
first
the
go.
Bonus
no, but then
point.
I should get half a point because I said Switzerland.
The opportunity for the bonus point, which is the name of the company.
Oh, I even know this. I can't remember what they're called.
Is it, what are they called? It begins with an H, it's like Hoxton Foods or something. No, they do the ingredients.
No, that's Hoxton Foods, that's yeah. In London.
Well, you can tell I'm the only one obsessed with this type of topic. Because I'm like, it's oh. So easy, come on.
Yeah, but it's all about what you've been doing in the last minute. I've just spent the whole morning talking about COP28.
Vital meat.
No. Sauce.
Meaty.
They've got no meat in the name.
I'm so desperately want to Google this right now. Oh, no Googling. I'm being warned off by our producer.
No
Googling.
Allowed. No.
I haven't Googled. I've just been tempted. Come on, Julia.
Okay, I
tell
say
us.
It. Sorry. It's called Aleph Farms.
Oh, I know.
And
that.
Yes, you can also find the story on our site.
Which, you know, I just have to say, we do cover so much. It's very hard to remember.
Yeah, and and as I said, I am the one obsessed with alternative proteins. So,
but also, it just goes to show, if you come and have a look through our site, you'll find the most incredible range of stories that we cover.
Whether you remember it or not is a different matter.
That's why we now have living memory in the case of our site. Right, anyway, moving swiftly on, I think it's time for Heather's question.
Yes, and taking a leaf out of Julia's books, I have decided to focus on a topic I am particularly passionate about. I will say that this did not happen in 2023, so if we were doing kind of yearly headlines, then that's out, but I do like it. So, In which UK city are all new buildings over 5 metres in height legally required to incorporate B-bricks?
Oh, what a lovely idea. I had no idea. Do you want to tell us what a bee brick is?
It's a little brick with holes in that bees can...
Oh, Julia.
Oh, Julia's guessed it.
It's a complete random guess, though. Bristol.
Wrong.
Okay, so finish describing what a bee brick is. I'm assuming it's a brick that allows bees in and out.
Yes, it's a brick with little holes in that bees can shelter and kind of thing. I do have multiple choice on this, if you would like.
Okay, give us the multiple choice.
Well, can I take back my answer then, because I wasn't aware of the multiple...
You'll have another chance to answer.
Thank you
we
very
much. We won't forget
much.
That you answered wrongly, but you know, we'll give you a second
very
chance.
Kind.
We will forgive, but we won't forget.
Ah, yes.
That's fair.
So, is it A, Brighton and Hove, B, Nottingham, or C, St Andrews?
Brighton and Hove.
You haven't said your
Point
name.
Point, Felicia.
Felicia! Brighton and Hove. It's got to be Brighton.
Yes, yes. I've given you the point already.
No, no, but Julia was calling me out because I hadn't said my name first, so I was just defending myself.
Someone must call people out.
Oh, dear, is that me getting another point? Julia, obviously Heather's going to win at this point, but, you know, it's now Julia and I battling to the death. So my third question, and this is actually, I think it's really interesting. It's not one of my obsessions, because if it was, we'd be talking about insurance again. But one of the things that always comes up is how expensive the transition to net zero is going to be. And there's some research that came out in August, which did an analysis of, you know, what the impact was going to be. So my question is, who is likely to suffer most from the cost of the energy transition? The very rich or the poor?
The poor. It's always the poor. Heather, the poor.
And I'm delighted to say you're completely wrong.
Yay! I'm glad to be wrong.
Can I get this point, please?
No, because you didn't say your name or the fact that it was the rich. Now, what the research actually has done is that they said that the scaling down of fossil fuels is going to have hardly any financial impact at all on the majority of people. So actually, because it's the rich that own everything. So if there is transition, what is it? I think in the US, they said that 2/3 of the financial losses from fossil fuel assets are going to affect the top 10% of wealth holders. And half of that is going to be the top 1%.
I mean, I suppose they can kiss goodbye to all their fancy seaside mansions and everything, can't they?
Well, we're not going to get into a political discussion about, you know, the rich and the poor.
That was not political. That was sheer envy because, I mean, I do live by the sea, to be fair, just not in a mansion.
But also, I think what's really important, by the way, is the analysis wasn't just about the US. They said the same thing was going to play out in across Europe and in the UK as well.
I mean, how do you know I'm not envisioning a lovely seaside mansion in Thurso?
Yeah, sorry, my bad.
You just assume I was thinking,
yeah,
LA.
Exactly. Something like that. Well, can I just say
Can I say something, though? Sorry, just to bring some more politics here. You only gave two options. So if one was wrong, the other one has to be correct. So I couldn't give my answer.
Well, yeah,
that's
why
it's a speed game, Julia.
So I can still get the
point. Julia, rich.
I think I should get the point.
No. I'm sorry. I'm going to look to Caroline. What is the final answer? Does Julia get the point?
Please, I only got one so far. It's really sad. Thank you.
Okay. Caroline's nodding.
Caroline's
Julia
nodding.
Because she does.
Which?
I think we can all agree that that was a pity point.
I don't care. It's still a point.
At the end of round three, I have two. Julia has two, and Heather is the winner on four.
Wow.
But before we go, I wanted to do one thing, and I just want to see how you guys do on this. Because one of the things we were all discussing when we were thinking about questions for the quiz was how complicated the acronyms are in and around climate and sustainability. So the final round is a quick fire on, is this a sustainability or climate-related acronym? Or is it the name of a Pokemon?
I do want to preface this with the fact that I've never seen Pokemon.
No. Yeah, but, how is that possible?
Okay, so the first one.
Sorry, so we answer by saying acronym or Pokemon, but just in unison, right? Like we don't say.
Yeah, this is just basically to amuse me. Okay, so which of these is which? GRI and Bidoof.
GRI is an acronym.
Bidoof is an acronym.
So what was yours, Julia?
GRI is an acronym.
And Julia gets the point. Because GRI is the GRI, the Global Reporting Initiative, and Bidoof is the name of a Pokemon.
I only hear that, like, when I read them as letters in my head, so I read that as the GRI. I've never once looked at it and said GRI.
Well, I am trying to make it more difficult.
You will, yes.
Okay.
You're succeeding.
Okay, number two, acronym or Pokemon? Nettle and DWOT.
DWOT is an acronym and Nettle's a Pokemon. I'm completely guessing here.
Julia?
I have no clue.
Pick one.
I'm going to say the other way around to stir it up a bit.
And Nettle is the acronym. DWOT is the Pokemon. It's the National Energy and Technology Laboratory in the US.
See, the thing is, I could name that. I just never read it as bloody metal.
Oh, you're making my life. This is brilliant. Okay, and the last one, acronym or Pokemon? Ivacam or Carcol?
Acronym.
Ivacam is an acronym. It has to be the Voluntary Carbon Market.
International Voluntary Carbon Market Committee or Integrity or something.
Heather,
I'm just shouting.
You were right in that it's an acronym. Totally wrong in what it stands for. Julia, you give it a try.
It's a council. Integrity Voluntary Carbon Market Council. Something like that.
Okay, we're really letting ourselves down here. It's the Integrity Council for the Voluntary Carbon Markets.
There you go.
And on that note,
I said Integrity.
Can I just say it could have been a Pokemon?
I'm just going to say it. That's a really bad name.
But please,
come at me. I've said it now.
But should they want? Dear, well, should they also want to send us, you know, an autograph? We'll take it. Tony, the Integrity people, like we're keen.
Julia, I think you're digging a hole now. I think it's probably time you stopped.
Okay.
Well, you know what, Julia? I'm glad you won something there. I'm proud of you.
Well, actually, Julia did beat you on that one.
Oh, I know. That's why I said
And who is the saddest? The one that knows the acronyms or the one that knows the rest of the stuff? I'm going to argue the acronyms. Thank you for joining us for our Christmas quiz. We hope you've joined in and enjoyed listening. If you have any suggestions for next year's prize, send them to us at sgvoice@dcthompson.co.uk. From the team at SG Voice, we hope all of our listeners have a restful break and we'll be back with more episodes in the new year.